There it goes. All right, it's now 11 o'clock. Now the tape is rolling. So y'all had homework. So here's how the homework works. First off, it's not about being right or wrong. So I know in years past, granted it's been a couple years since I've done this class, but this is really one of the classes where I don't really want to have to judge students right or wrong. You either did it or you did not. The reason being is all of these cases turn on the smallest of details. You know, there is no case that is an absolute slam dunk. There's always a depends in there. And sometimes it comes down to what particular judges were sitting on the appeals court that day. What type of mood they were in. What did they have for breakfast, if anything? Those little things could cause the simple change. So why would I say you're wrong and make you fail on these homework assignments? Well, the good news is that I do not. You're Ethan, right? Outstanding. And Guy came in. Perfect. All right. So, for homework, what you had to do is read three fact patterns that are the basis of actual cases that got to the appeals court. And if you noticed, you see how I guided you through the process? I dropped subtle hints. Because ultimately, what happens is before you can analyze, come up with your outcome, you have to know the law. So on each case, I force you to review something we covered in class, plus do some online Googling or looking in your book to find answers. All three, I did that. I'm mean. Because ultimately, here's the real truism in life. There's never going to be anybody who you have come across in life that can prepare you for any situation that is possible for you to experience in your life. You ultimately will always run into situations where you got to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and figure things out. So long as you did that, regardless of what you decide, I'm good with it. Because I'm not grading you on the outcome. I want to see your thought process, your analysis, and your ability to do independent work. So how this works is I'm going to call up a couple of people for every single case, and I'm going to ask simple questions. Obviously, the first person to get called up pretty much has the easiest time. Because the first person, it typically involves questions in the facts, which you should all have at your hand. Then, I'll start asking questions about the rules of law. Then I'll ask the analysis. So ultimately, those people who I call on toward the end, they have the heavier lifting. But, like I said, you can't be wrong so long as you did it. So let's see how things go. Suppose I should remember what order of the cases I gave you is. Number one, you be the judge. Oh, so Donald V. O'Daniels. All right, so let me see. Some people already got yellow dots. Somebody already got a red dot. So let's see if we can add some more yellow dots to this. Carol, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 3. What is it? No, between 1 and 3. 2. You're the lucky winner. Why don't you stand up, please? I have questions for you. Hi.
Hello.
How are you feeling?
Safe.
You'll be fine. No worries. All right, question for you. What is the incident that led to the initial trial.
In Soldano v. O'Daniels.
What happened?
It was a fist fight.
A fist fight, okay.
It happened in
a bar. Now, here's my first really off-the-wall question.
How likely, how foreseeable are fist fights and bars? Why? Alcohol, lack of thought process, maybe a little extra adrenaline and testosterone. All right, so it was a fist fight. What happened in the fist fight?
Well, things got out of hand and someone got shot. Am I in the right
one? Someone brought a gun to a fist fight? It does happen, doesn't it? Okay. What happened to the person who got shot?
Oh, he was killed.
Oh. Wait, what? You mean life isn't like video games? Did he respawn? Was he able to, like, do the second life and the third life? Oh. So if you decide to play with those things that go pew-pew, you have a tendency to go, eh. Someone does, right? So this is really not something you should be messing around with.
No.
Okay, so fist fight, escalated, gunshot. Bam, dead. Does this trial involve the person who died suing the person who killed them? What's going on here? Or is it like Coonsie Pub Zone, where the person is suing the place where they got shot? Kind of, sort of.
Well, the person that got shot, his son, is suing the other establishment.
Wait.
Ooh. I know.
Another bar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, man,
So
his son, the one that got shot, his son is suing the establishment next door because of Good Samaritan.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on. So, was there like a sniper? Was the shooter on the roof of the other bar and went pew pew? No. Then why on God's earth would you sue the place next door? Wouldn't you sue the place that you were in?
That's what right. But the person, there's someone in that place that didn't have a phone and called 911 to help with the situation. So they went.
How many people in 1977 do you think had a phone? Yeah, there was no such thing as cell phones in 1977. So how many people do you think actually had phones on them? Probably none. Okay. So because there was no such thing as cell phones, if you needed to call somebody, you had to use a landline. All right. So option one is a payphone. Now, not that I want to judge ages, because I know I'm the old guy in the room, but does anybody remember when there used to be payphones around? They used to be kind of like everywhere. They would be on the outside of buildings, like outside of like Cumberland Farms. They would be on random poles because of emergencies. Okay, so were there any payphones around in the area? Do we know?
No.
We don't know any, right? It wasn't talked about. If there was a payphone, do you think it would have been smart for the person who was trying to make a phone call just for a payphone? Okay, so we don't know, we can't determine 100%, but we can presume that they went next door because there was no payphone. And that's possible. All right, so they go into, what was next door?
It was an inn.
An inn, so probably another bar.
Another bar.
Okay, and did they have a payphone inside?
More than
did they? Then why did the guy just go to the payphone?
Not a payphone, but a phone available.
Okay, so they didn't look for a payphone. What did the person do?
They went to the microphone to ask me.
Oh. Okay. I remember 1977. Did you know that back then, whenever you picked up a call, a phone, and dialed any number, you used to get charged. If you were a business, if you were a resident and you had a phone back then, you could dial locally. So people in your town. But if you called anybody that was outside of your town, you had to pay. So this is a business, yes? So chances are, you pick up the phone, the moment you dial anything, they're going to have to pay. So did they allow customers to use their phone?
No. Well, no. But then they have to pay for that.
Okay, that's right. So they don't, well, we have to be careful. Because if they allow customers, you know, the next question would be, is this guy coming over? Is he even a customer? So we could assume no, because there was no argument between the two. So there was a phone. Do we know exactly where the phone in the circle in was? No. So, I mean, it's not just a matter of you could have picked the phone up and put it on the bar. There might not have been any phone in the bar. So if you own a any type of business, would you let some random person who comes in, maybe into the back office, to use a phone? No, if you own a business, you're probably not going to let anybody go in the back for any reason, right? Alright. And was there any discussion of sometimes they allowed people to do it and sometimes they didn't? Alright, so it just seems like this one incident, person went in and was denied the use of the phone.
Well, we had an emergency and they did that.
Well, isn't everyone's situation always an emergency?
No.
We're all important in our own little way, exactly. Alright. Does anyone dispute anything that Carol claimed? Hey, Carol. Amber, up.
I don't like dispute anything, but...
Well, it's okay. You're next. How did she do?
I think she did good.
I think she did very well. Yeah, yeah. I had confidence in her. That's why I called on her first. I have confidence in you. That's why I'm calling you in second. Because you've done this before. All right. So, what do we got? What's the issue?
So basically the son of the person who died is suing the owner of the Circle Inn, I believe. And he's also the owner of the bar, if I read that correctly.
The Happy Jack Saloon?
Yeah.
So he owns both?
If I read it correctly, I think so, yes.
Yeah, but the basis of this claim isn't necessarily because of something that happened over there.
Yeah.
It's something that happened over there.
Yeah.
Now, was it the son that went next door to make the call?
No, just a good Samaritan.
What's a good Samaritan?
Someone who's like a bystander watching, they decide to intervene even though they don't have to.
Okay. Good definition of good Samaritans. We're going to cover that today. Is a bystander that chooses to intervene, but they're not the ones who cause the harm. I like that. So this is just some rando, sees what's going on and says, oh, I'm going to go help. Did that have an impact on what happened in the other establishment?
Not necessarily.
Did that person going over there trying to call 911, did that stop the fight? Did that stop the shooting? Did that cause the harm? Did that contribute to the likelihood of his death?
Not really.
But yet, the son of the dead dude is suing the bar. What's the basis of their claim?
That they were negligent.
Yeah. Negligent. We've all heard this word before. What does negligent or negligence imply or mean?
They didn't do the necessary steps to like protect their people, I guess, the customers. Right. They like knew something could happen, but they didn't.
Okay.
They have a duty.
Well, remember, you cannot be liable unless you have a duty. So, even though we'll get to negligence, here are the basic elements of negligence. First, you have to have a duty, okay? Which means you have a responsibility to that other person. And then you must breach that duty. Okay? And as a result of that breach, there must be harm that arises from the breach. And of course, lastly, the harm must be of the type that is foreseeable. In order to establish a claim, I'm not done with you. Oh, not done. In order to establish a successful claim against negligence, this is what Dead Dude's son must prove. By a preponderance of the evidence. This is not a criminal case, right? And what does preponderance of the evidence mean? Anybody remember? That's the burden of proof in a civil claim. A preponderance of the evidence.
More than half likely.
More likely than not. More than half likely. All right. To a reasonable person. All right. Question. In your humble opinion, you, does a bar next door have a duty to patrons of another establishment in general? Okay, so if there is no duty, do we continue? No, we pretty much stop. We pretty much stop. By the way, what did the trial court rule? The trial court issued... Oh, that's a red one. I don't want to write red. We'll keep that in mind. Issued a summary judgment. Which I don't know if this is either. I'm done with you? Am I? Well, Jose just intervened. So open mouth, insert foot. Jose! Question. How did she do?
Great.
How did Carol do? All right, excellent. How do you think you're going to do?
Awesome.
You open your mouth, insert foot. What's summary judgment?
Summary judgment is when they take the initial claims or whatever and whatever information is there and figure out if there's any case to like proceed. To hear any other details of the case, if they feel like there's no need to hear anything else, they just say...
Who says? Determined by who? Who grants motions?
Judge.
Alright. So this is a decision by the judge to do what?
To skip having a trial.
Well, not to skip having a trial, to basically end. Right? We're stopping the trial. Why?
Because there's no need to.
Why?
Because the facts say that, you know, there's no duty. If it shows there's no duty, then there's no need to proceed the rest of the trial.
Okay, you put the shot up. It's going around the rim. It's going around the rim. Is it going to fall in? Okay, so, all right, preponderance. So, in order to, remember what I said during the trial, plaintiff goes first, then defendant. If the plaintiff establishes enough evidence by a preponderance of the evidence, the burden shifts to the defendant. Okay? But if the whole basis of plaintiff's claim is negligence, and there's no duty, does plaintiff have a case? So if you can't even prove your claim, do you even deserve to go to a jury? No. 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 But, as a general rule of public policy, does it make sense to basically deny somebody the ability to help if they want to. I didn't say they had to. This person wants to help.
That person wanted to help but needed the help of somebody else. So that has nothing to do with them.
Ooh.
He could have went and paid for the people or whatever, or found another form of evidence.
So, for one person to help, it couldn't happen. I don't even know how to write a symbol of without, so I'll just say without another. So for you to help, it would require me to help you. Can you force me to help you?
No.
Ooh. Very good. All right, you're done. You're welcome. Thank you. Hey, Lex. Did you do your homework?
Yeah.
All right. We'll see. Have you disagreed with anything that's been said so far?
No.
I think we're all on the same page. All right. So, based on the facts, could a reasonable-minded jury potentially perceive a duty if the goal is to help somebody? Do you think they would want to see it? Why? Are you the type of person that is warm and all squishy inside? Or are you a cold, hard bastard?
In the middle, I guess.
In the middle. So a little empathy, but not too much.
Right.
How did you decide this case?
I wrote premise liability, basically.
Say what?
Business owners generally have an obligation to make their premises safe for visitors, so premise liability. But since the bartender had nothing to do with the other bar, or the I thought it was a hotel, I must have read it. So since the person at the front desk who didn't let the Good Samaritan make the phone call had nothing to do with the other establishment, that there was no premise liability, and that he's not in the wrong at all.
Okay, so premise liability is the basic fancy way of saying the basic rule for bystander liability.
Right.
You know, basically if you didn't contribute to the harm, you have no liability. So if the harm did not happen on your premises, you have no liability. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Does the fact that the guy owned the other bar play a role into this claim?
Was the person just an employee or was he the owner?
He was an employee, he was an agent of.
And is it the same company or is it?
It like said it was owned both the bar where the fight happened and the Circle Inn were owned by the same guy. What I'm asking is, does that negate your point of premise liability?
I don't know, honestly. I think if technically it is one corporation, or a corporation, but a company that owns the two of them, if he's employed at both establishments, then yes, he would have premise liability. But since I wouldn't know.
All right, I got a question for you. Do you know anything about deeds? Deeds are those little pieces of paper that get filed at a government registry called the Registry of Deeds, that describe the meets and bounds description of every parcel of land. Okay? Every single deed is unique to that parcel. So, I'm going to, without putting you on the spot, basically say no to your what if. Each establishment is a separate premise because each has its own separate identity.
Okay.
under the way we describe property.
But, like, even if it wasn't, like, say, like, you know, there's, like, chain restaurants and stuff like that, if it happened at a different location where no one was there to see it.
Yeah, if you went from one McDonald's to the next, it wouldn't matter. Because it has nothing to do with the second McDonald's. It has to do with the first. So I think we're all kind of on the same page. There can be no breach of a duty where no duty exists. Because did the harm happen in the Circle Inn? And as a general rule, can you force someone to help? Lex?
No.
No, the law does not force people to help. Does anybody have an outcome that is different than that? You do?
I did.
Oh!
I don't know how correct it is, but from what I was able to gather at home, I don't have it all written here. I wrote that while the bartender did not have a responsibility to call the police, he did have a responsibility to not prevent someone from calling the police. So human life was at stake.
So you're not arguing that the bartender can't be compelled to help. What you're arguing is kind of the exact opposite side of the same coin. He's not being compelled to help, but he's choosing to stop the person's effort to help. You had that as well? All right, so stopping help versus
stopping.
Done. All right. Is there a difference in that? Well, let's think hypothetically. You want to use my cell phone to help. I say no.
It's your property.
It's my property. But is me saying no stopping him from helping? Hold on. Mike?
No, because the harm would still have to be foreseeable, right?
Bar, alcohol, fight, and if you don't call 911, what type of harm is foreseeable? Death. Or more harm. Because what happens if these are gangbangers and they're in a turf war? And the moment one of them gets shot down, what's going to happen with members of the other gang? Oh, they're going to come back and they're going to want to retaliate, biatches. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. How many people said no liability for the Circle Inn? How many people said yes liability for the Circle Inn? Do you want to know what ended up happening in this case? The appeals court said it depends. It could go either way. So, in that situation, who should be making the decision? The judge or the jury? If it's a close call, who should be making that decision? Judge or jury? The decision was remanded and summary judgment was reversed. It would go back down for another look because there was this was the big issue that the appeals court zoomed in on. Yes, on one hand, by saying no, you're stopping someone from helping. you don't have to be forced to help. But on the other, you're interfering with efforts to help. So you're contributing to potentially more harm. But it's such a close call, it shouldn't be the judge making that decision. Because does not our Constitution guarantee us a jury of our peers? Does a jury get it right 100% of the time? No. But our system is designed to let them make the decision. Right or wrong.
What?
In the end, it was determined that Circle N did actually have a breach of duty. Because there was a statute that was passed in California. Because remember what I said? Remember what I said? I intentionally hid facts from you. You pick up the call back then, it was a business, and you had to be charged. Well, the year before this, the incident actually happened, California passed a statute, Congress passed a statute called the 911 Emergency Assistance Act that made 911 a free call. So, the fact that the guy didn't let him make a 911 call, it wasn't a cost. He was just being an asshole. But it was actually, because I read it the whole process. The bartender just was not aware of that new congressional law.
So before then, it was like common to pay all the time?
You had to pay for every time you picked up, because 911 was not a local call.
So they couldn't argue that? That what? There was no knowledge of...
Is ignorance of the law ever defense?
Yeah, I guess. Damn.
Well done. Did I expect everyone to have the same answer? No. That's the beauty of these things. That's the beauty of it. But everyone who stood up, did you see what they did? They gave it their best try to come up with an answer. And then at one point, we even had a dispute. That's good. That's good. All right, well, let's see what happens on our next case. Stinton v. Robin Woods. Michael, did you do homework? Stand up, please. So, full disclosure, Michael had me before, but it was for a political science class, not a law class. All right. Do you remember the facts in Stinton?
Yeah.
Give me the gist of what basically happened.
An old lady fell on stairs that were
An old lady fell on stairs?
Yes.
What's the likelihood of that happening?
I mean, they were newly painted, so I would say that.
But just in general?
I mean, it happens.
It does happen, right. Because what happens when you get old?
It's harder to do things.
It is very harder to do things. And I tell you, every single morning I wake up and I'm like, ooh, that didn't hurt yesterday. Is that even possible hurting? Yes. Yes. We'll be very kind. We'll just say things start to slip. Right? Your motor reaction is just not as quick as it was when you were younger. So it is foreseeable, it is likely that an elderly woman, could potentially slip on stairs. But let's make it more significant. What was the second thing you said?
They were newly painted.
Newly painted stairs. Ooh. Have you ever walked on painted stairs?
No, not
really. You've never walked on stairs that were painted? Really, ever?
Not that I've noticed.
Oh. What does paint do?
Makes it slippery.
Why?
It's wet.
Paint's wet? Did it say she walked through wet paint?
No. It said newly painted.
Newly painted. What happens shortly thereafter after the paint?
It dries.
It dries. So it's not slippery because of the fact that the paint was wet.
Yeah.
But what happens when paint dries? Why do we paint things? Particularly wood. That's part of it. And what's the other purpose of it?
To cover something up.
Okay, to cover up stains. What's the other purpose? No? Loud? You're protecting whatever the substance is from rain, ice, snow. Because what happens in particular to wood? if you don't treat it with anything and you leave it exposed to the elements. It rots, right. And then what could happen? You're not just going to slip and fall. You could fall through it. All right. So if you have a business and you have an entryway, is it not responsible of you to maintain the structural integrity of whatever materials your entryway is made out of?
Yeah.
So how likely is it that a manager would tell an employee, go paint the damn stairs?
Very likely.
Very likely. Okay. But why did she slip and fall?
Because it wasn't a good job.
What?
Ooh,
hold on a second. Have you ever seen wood freshly treated after it rains?
Yeah.
What happens to the water?
It kind of puddles.
Oh. Hence, making it slippery. Okay. So, the poor little old lady slipped and fell. Did she suffer harm? What happened to her?
Her leg and her arm was messed up.
Oh.
Had to go to the hospital.
Oh. Ouch. Yes, because you know what also happens when you get older? You don't bounce. You have a tendency to go down. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. That commercial is a reality. All right. One last question. What did the little old lady then do?
She sued the Robbins Wood Aid, the whole apartment complex.
Okay. Claiming what?
Negligence.
Negligence, right. And what are the elements of negligence?
Duty, breach, harm, facility.
Perfect. Very good. Thank you. Well done. Another dot, another dot, another dot. Matthew! Are you prepared today?
Not really.
Well, we'll see how well you do then. All right. Here's the first question. Was Michael correct in everything he said? Is there anything factually that he said that you disagree with? Is there anything factually that I said that you disagree with? All right, very good. So, once the little old lady decides to sue,
yeah.
What is she seeking?
Money.
Well, we know that.
Yeah.
Ultimately, she's looking for compensation for her harm.
Yeah.
But during discovery, she's looking for something. What is she looking for?
To punish the guy who had painted it.
Oh! Well, I don't know if she's necessarily looking to punish the person who painted it. Okay. Montforte or something like that?
Yeah.
Montforte. Ish. Why is she seeking him? What does she want to do to him? It's one of those tools that we covered when we did discovery. It's one of the devices to obtain evidence.
Peel him?
What? Peel him what, like banana?
I'm not sure.
All right, so right now you're teetering on a red dot. Okay?
Yeah.
Because you are not really prepared. You're flying by the seat of your pants. But I'm going to give you the chance to earn that yellow dot.
Right.
What did Andrew just say?
Did I say something?
You did. Ask him for a lifeline.
I don't know. What did you say? Deposition.
Deposition. All right. This is going to be your saving grace.
Okay.
What is a deposition?
Private meeting where they kind of sit together.
And do what?
talk about it. They have a lawyer, then they have the, I don't know the name of the guy who takes it out.
Stenographer. Yeah, yeah. What is the person who wants to depose the witness, what are they trying to get from them? Because of?
Negligence?
No. Deposition is a tool for discovery. Yeah. Discovery, the purpose of discovery, is used to gather what that will help you prove your case.
Evidence.
Last question. Evidence can come from answers to questions, yeah? What do you think the one question that the old lady wants to ask Monteforte? That's going to help her prove this.
Maybe you didn't take the proper procedure of making sure the stairs were safe.
Yeah. Did you prime it beforehand?
Yeah.
Did you use the right materials?
Yeah.
And ultimately, who told you to do it?
Yeah. The person that owns the company.
Well, because if he says, the boss told me to do it, who's got a bet? What do you think? Do you think he gets his yellow dot?
Yes.
We'll do it democratically. How many people say yes? How many people say no? Oh, one cruel bastard right up in front. All right. Reed, tough cookie. Tough cookie.
I put my hand down.
I don't know about that one. We'll call that. We'll leave that on depends.
Okay.
All right. Gee. Do you do your homework, sir?
Yeah.
Do you disagree with anything that's been covered so far?
Yeah.
All right. Did he show up for deposition? Why not? Isn't a deposition a demand by a court? What could potentially happen to you if the court tells you to do something and you don't? But I don't want no. In general, court tells you to do something, you choose not to, well, yeah, you could be held in contempt or fines, jail, yeah, it's probably something you don't want to do, right? Court says jump, you say how high, right? Sometimes or all the times? That a boy, all right. Did he show up? Huh. Why not? Did he even know about the deposition? He did. Really? Can you prove that?
Well, hold on.
Was he actually getting letters to his house? And who said that? Who's they? Who's they? You keep saying they. I want to know who's they.
The company.
So the company is saying the letters was going to his house and he did not show up. Okay. How many times did this happen?
Three times.
Do you ever play baseball? What happens when you get three strikes? Oh, man. Now, here's an interesting question. Were the letters actually going to Monteforte's house? What was the address that was given for his house? The company headquarters. Oh, man. Is that smart? Is it smart? Did they not say that they were going to the guy's house? And it turns out they're actually going to the business? What did they do? Hold on. When you don't tell the truth, you are a liar. And is it smart to lie to a judge?
No. Why? What can the court do to you? They could do bad stuff, right? What did the judge do to them here? After the third time, what did the judge do?
Oh, they like told me that we had to
one strike, two strike, three strikes. They discover the address or did something to the defendant. And remember, what happens when you get... because of three strikes. What's a strike? Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, it's like... Oh, this strike is,
answer. What is an answer? What's an answer? No. How does a civil claim begin? What does plaintiff do? They go to court and they file for a complaint. The complaint gets delivered to defendant. What does defendant have 20 days to do? Answer. And what is an answer? Well, maybe not the truth, but their side. Right. So if the court basically strikes your answer, you don't have a defense. Holy cow! And if you don't have a defense, what's going to happen to you in trial? You're going to lose. Did they lose? Yes, they did. And what were the consequences of them losing? $400,000. By the way, I'm pretty sure I did include a breakdown, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you sue for money, you have to identify different areas of claim. So, the lady got what? Remind me. I didn't break it down?
$150,000 for future pain.
Future pain and suffering. Wait, I thought she was dead.
She died after.
Oh, after she won. Oh, okay.
$300,000
for past pain and suffering. $22,000 for medical expenses. What year did this take place? Ooh, 2001-ish, 2002-ish. No, 2005-ish. Think about what it would be today. It's a lot of money, right? All right, so when you don't have an answer, because you have no defense, what can plaintiff then, because you don't respond, what can plaintiff file for? I don't know if it's in there. No. This is summary judgments during trial. This is during going all the way back to discovery. And its initials are DV. Directed verdict. Which means what? And this is your last question. Yeah. Doesn't go even to trial. Judges basically say, that side has no case. And if you have no case, that means the person who gets it wins by default. Nice. Excellent. Good job. Good job. Good job. But I have questions. Cole, did you do your homework? No. How about Austin? Did you do your homework? All right. Oh. By the way, Cole, I appreciate honesty. All right. So the court did two things to defend it, yeah? Granted two motions.
And as a result of the judge engaging in those decisions, how did that affect the outcome of the trial? No, not specific. We're just talking big picture. So, one, judge says defendant cannot answer. That's gone. And then judge granted a directed verdict, which says plaintiff won. How did that impact the outcome of the trial? Who was controlling the process? The judge was. There was no jury. It was the judge. Now, here's the big question. Were those moves proper?
Yeah.
Why? You got to say it loud because now I'm on the side of the fan. Alright, so in order to have justice, both sides must play by the rules. Right? Was both sides playing by the rules? Which side was not playing by the rules? The defendant was not playing by the rules. So if you were on the appeals court and you had all of this presented to you, should this decision be reversed and then remanded down for an actual jury decision? Why? Did the judge just act on a whim? How frequent do you think judges give second or third chances? Hardly ever. I talked to friends that do litigation, and when I first read this case and I put it in my class, I actually asked, how often does this happen? It's like hardly ever happens. So the fact that you have this trial judge bending over backwards, trying to help out Robin's Woods, not once, not twice, but three times. And then after that, they discovered lying all along. Does justice demand that they lose?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they had multiple They had multiple times to give a statement that they needed, and they just went through it.
You had your chance. Multiple times. And you blew it.
Very good, thank you. FYI, the appeals court found no merit to Robbins Woods' appeal, where they claim that striking their answer was basically too harsh. The appeals court ruled, and I quote, a court may invoke a drastic remedy such as striking an answer when the party's failure to comply with discovery is willful. The court then defined what willful means. Willful nature of conduct can be inferred from a failure to comply with three court orders or to explain why it did not produce Monteforte or any other rep.
Now here's the dirty little secret. If somebody else showed up for deposition in Monteforte's place, the court would have said fine. But they didn't even do that. So, you play with fire, you will get burned. $450,000.
Is there a lawyer that told them to do that?
Yeah.
That's a bad lawyer.
Oh, yeah. Why do you think they call it practicing law? Oh, and here's another little sidebar admission. Some of the dumbest people that I've met in my life, besides college professors, are lawyers. All right, very good. By the way, did everybody fine for, or should I, let me put it this way, did anybody fine for Robin Woods? Or was everybody for the little old lady side? Yeah, this one was not a defense. See, the first one was a close call. The second one, not so much.
I do agree, though, that the announcement that to be an future.
Doesn't matter. You are entitled to damages the moment the damages occur.
But for future, for the future payments,
what would, yeah, no, it has nothing to do with pain and suffering. Pain and suffering was from her.
I know, but I'm saying, like, they could still use that money.
Well, that was based on, you know, the expected life expectancy.
Because if she died like 6 months later, you're still going to be like, oh, I want my money back.
Exactly. So what it was they gave her pain and suffering for the past, which was based on 4 years. So the future was average, you know, maybe she's going to live two more. So that's just how the court made the judgment call. All right. Last one, Clinton v. Jones. Dylan, are you prepared?
Yeah.
All right. Basically, what happened here?
2001.
Go back 10 years, exactly. Yeah.
Jones wanted to meet Clinton.
Why?
Was he a governor?
He was a governor. Now, question, have you ever met any politicians?
I met Charlie Baker once.
Oh, did you?
That was cool.
So, if you had a chance to meet a politician, would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not, right?
Well, because it would help her out with her job.
Oh, that's true, because she was a government employee.
Yeah. So.
Oh. Wait. Was she told that, or did she think that?
Think that.
Was that reasonable to assume?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know why exactly, but I would think the same thing.
Guess what usually happens with government jobs?
What?
If you're friendly with the big boss, you're more likely to get a promotion.
Yeah, true.
Okay, so?
So, what happened was, I don't know exactly where they met each other. Some kind of room.
They were like in a convention, yeah. That was a hotel.
It was some kind of room.
What type of room?
Was it a bedroom? Bam. I know there was a sofa. Bam, bam. I remember there was like a couch.
There was, so it was probably a suite as opposed to a regular hotel room, yeah.
So what happened was Clinton was just being very sexual towards her.
Now, question. What would William Jefferson Clinton become shortly thereafter? The President of the United States. This was a big national issue because it wasn't just Paula Jones that was making accusations of being sexually assaulted. But what did he do to her?
He tried to pressure her into having sex, pulling his pants down and stuff.
Ooh.
And like motioning and grabbing her. That kind of stuff. We get it. No, we get it. Yeah, we got it.
There was detailed descriptions that were circulated around the time this happened, and she described it the equivalent of a roll of nickels.
God.
Just saying.
No way.
God. Just saying.
That's cool. Good information. I'll write that one down.
So, did she say, yeah, baby?
No, she said she's not that kind of girl.
Oh. Okay. So did she decide to sue right away?
No.
What did she do?
She went back to work.
She went to work. She get fired?
No.
She get demoted?
I don't think so, but she was scared she was going to.
So she was afraid. She thought she was going to get demoted, but she never got demoted.
No.
Did she ever get her pay cut?
No.
No. She did get something cut, but not her pay. Does anyone remember?
I actually don't remember.
She basically got put into a position where she couldn't elevate more in her job.
Okay, so she kind of got blocked off, but...
She had, no time. I mean, well... you know, wait.
much less responsibility, and at that time, she had nothing to do.
Okay, so, hold on a second. She didn't get a pay cut. She got laterally moved to a job that had less work to do, less hours to work. But she's getting the same pay. Is there anyone in this room that would tell their boss, wait, you're going to keep my same pay, but you're going to make me do less? Would you have an issue with it? Okay.
If she's working less hours, yeah.
If she was working less hours,
yeah,
less work.
Then that would be a problem.
But then it would be less pay, wouldn't it?
No! Her pay stayed the same.
Salary.
Was there anything that actually happened to her that could be perceived as negative?
No.
There was one thing.
Yes.
There was an article put out.
No. Oh! She didn't get flowers on Secretary's Day. Oh! Kill me now. Okay.
I would have wished that all worked out.
Yeah, right, yeah. Oh, awful. Okay, so did she actually leave the job?
No, eventually.
Eventually, but not.
But was she forced out?
No.
Was she, her position eliminated?
No.
Was she terminated?
No.
Nothing. So why did she leave?
Because her husband got sleep.
She chose to leave. Did she sue when she chose to leave her job?
No.
Last question. When did she decide to sue?
It was a little after she left the job.
Yeah, it was a little after she left the job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, when he became president?
Really?
He was already president, yeah. But that's not why she decided to sue. Why did she decide to sue?
The article.
There was an article. That was written, authored by who?
The security guard.
The cop that got her into the room, and what did the cop allege?
That they had sex.
Bam! Defamation of character! Boom! Alright, very good.
Very good. Heck yeah. Well done. Lucas, are you prepared? Did you do your homework? No. I appreciate the honesty. Alright. Juliana. Did you do your homework?
Yeah.
I knew you would.
All right. Is everything so far all above level?
Yeah.
You good with everything?
Yeah.
So, she claims that she was sexually assaulted, but she didn't lose her job, she didn't lose pay. The only thing that she lost was she had to work less, because she had to go to work less hours and do less work. She didn't get flowers, though. Okay, and then she did leave by her own choice.
She only decides to sue because there was a story in a magazine.
Who did she decide to sue? No. Who did she decide to sue? The President of the United States. Did the President of the United States defame her character?
No.
What did she allege that the President of the United States did? She's claiming she didn't have sex with him, but she's claiming that he did what to her? Because again, in order to have a case, you have to have a justiciable issue that results in harm.
sexual harassment.
Sexual harassment.
Actually, it's only one arm.
You got all the time. What does this mean legally?
If you are going to sexually harass somebody, what must occur?
Okay.
So,
now we'll make it simple. We'll say D has to make P, L, feel uncomfortable. Does it actually require touching? No. So sexual harassment is not sexual assault. Sexual harassment is making the person feel that something is going to happen. Yes. And what is that that potentially is going to happen in the immediate foreseeable future? Unwanted, unpermitted touching. Okay, good.
But there's more. There's more.
Does it always have to be sexual in nature?
No. What could it be?
It could be just offensive words about a person's gender.
You know?
Not, hey baby, I want to get it on with you, but hey baby, you have nice.
That could be enough. You're making the person just feel awful. Okay. What also must there be?
Given the elements, there's one other thing. Because sexual harassment must take place where?
Workplace.
Okay. Workplace. And what must happen in the workplace after this occurred? That one's tough to prove. But if the claim is, my boss sexual harassed me, I said no, in the moment I didn't feel comfortable, how are you going to show that you said no? Not that she left of her own accord, but... what? There has to be some type of retaliation.
Retaliation.
Because after all, if Bubba wanted to get it on with Paula, and Paula said no, but Bubba really wanted to get it on, wouldn't he be angry? And wouldn't he naturally want to get revenge? So, in order to win a claim of sexual harassment, based on the facts, was she able to prove all of this? Did something happen in a moment where she felt uncomfortable? Did he strongly allude to the likelihood of sex? Did she suffer workplace retaliation? She did. Focus on the future beside after the event. Did she suffer workplace retaliation? Did she lose her job? Did she lose her pay?
Was she demoted?
No.
Could she actually prove workplace retaliation? What did the trial court give? What did the trial court give? Summary judgment. And when does the trial court allow to issue summary judgment? When one party, there's no evidence. She can't prove her claim. So should it go to the jury? No. So the trial court turned it off. It goes up to the appeals court. Guess what happened in the appeals? Bill Clinton ended up paying her $900,000 and settled the claim before the appeals court made a decision.
Wow. Oh, shit. That's a comeback.
Bill Clinton would also lose his license to practice law in Arkansas because of what type of a scumbag he was. So, lesson. She couldn't prove her claim. But obviously, by Bill Clinton settling, what is he strongly implying?
Right,
he's guilty. Yeah, kind of. Right there. All right, so I'll take those. Pass them up. Make sure your names are up on it. I think she would have lost.
I think so too.
I think she would have lost. But the problem is, make sure your names on them. Pass them forward. But the problem is. He would have won the trial, but his image would have been shattered. So after this occurred, Hillary Clinton went on the warpath and started actually publicly attacking any woman that made allegations against the president. So much so that a couple of them actually had to move out of the country.
It wasn't that many.
Yeah. There was a dozen, maybe two.
Two dozen.
Okay. All right, so we do not have class on Wednesday, so if you did not give me homework, make sure you just at least take the time to read the cases, read chapters 1, 2, and 3, and we're going to finish up with bystanders, and then we're going to do some ethics, so have a good long weekend.
Got some money on the line, bro.
That's my daughter.
She ain't giving no money.